Morning. The scripture this morning is Ephesians 4, 1 through 7, and 14 through 16. I, therefore the prisoner in the Lord, beg you to lead a life worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, making every effort to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to the one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in all. But each of us was given grace according to the measure of Christ's gift. We must no longer be children tossed to and fro and blown about by every wind of doctrine, by people's trickery, by their craftiness and deceitful scheming. But speaking the truth in love, we must grow up in every way into him who is in the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by every ligament with which it is equipped, as each part is working properly, promotes the body's growth in building itself up in love. Thus ends the reading.
Paul says that he's a prisoner of the Lord in this, and we assume that this was written during one of the times that he had been imprisoned by the Romans for preaching and for speaking up. And the Roman authorities kept telling him to be quiet. He wouldn't do it. They kept putting him in jail. He'd come out and he'd start preaching all over again. Eventually, they arrested him, brought him to Rome to trial, and killed him to get rid of him. But they never got rid of the church that he started. And in fact, eventually, the church grew and absorbed Rome. That church has grown from the first few voices, the first brave voices, to what it is today around the whole world. It still needs a few brave voices, and it will continue to grow. It's a good thing that people are going to be reading Harvey Cox on the future of faith. Something is emerging again. Something is growing again. And if you're interested and if you want to have something that will be a special meaning for your life here and for your time in the church now, this is it. It's no accident, I think, that the United Church of Christ added a motto. Our motto has always been that they may all be one. And now we have added that God is still speaking. God is speaking now, and something new is happening. So it's entirely appropriate that for this scripture today, that Paul, who talked to those people long ago, can talk to us now and say, please, don't be as children tossed to and fro, blown about by every changing doctrine, by every new thought, every new way, people's trickery and craftiness and deceitful scheming. But hold fast to the one faith, the one God, the one hope. In the United Church of Christ, we take on this tricky business, this challenge, of how we can affirm and value and promote diversity, and yet at the same time seek to be one, seek unity, to have unity in diversity. It works well pretty much most of the time, as you know from your own experience here. We call ourselves a liberal and progressive church, and by liberal we mean that we are open-minded and open-handed. We are generous of spirit. Being liberal means that in our congregations, people of all approaches to biblical interpretation are welcome and affirmed. Progressive means that we really do believe God is leading us. I personally believe God has led us as Christians past slavery, which is biblical, to a new understanding of that, has led us past the subjugation of women, which is certainly in Leviticus, and has led us to a new understanding of that, and now is leading us past current understandings to new understandings of human sexuality, to new understandings of scriptural interpretation. As you know that I use and promote the analytic method in biblical interpretation, which leads us to examine as well as we can to discern what it meant to people at that time, what those words meant, what was behind them, what they thought to people at that time. And then to shift that, to translate that, to focus upon what does that mean to us now? Now, it's not always true that everything that was important to them and that meant something to them back in those days means something to us now. You could read the whole book of Numbers, which meant a lot to the people at the time and still means a lot to Jews today, but it's only of passing interest, historical interest, to most Christian congregations. That's just one example. But there are some parts of this which are absolutely vital to our understanding, not just as Christians, but to our understanding of ourselves as human beings. Each of us is given grace according to the measure of Christ's gift, writes Paul. I'm not sure what Paul meant by the measure of Christ's gift, but I am sure what he meant by each of us is given grace. Each member of the church has some ability to be used for the good and for the growth of all. No one is overlooked in the pouring out of grace. Everyone is important to the building up of the community. We each have different talents, different interests, and energies. All of us are necessary to the body. He says to us, this is what you must do if you would be Christians. Speak the truth in love. Grow up and mature in the body, the mystical body, the church. Be knit together to promote the body's growth, building itself up in love. The earliest Christians in their earliest writings said, do not make distinctions. Do not say to this one, sit here, to that one, sit there, and most certainly do not say to anyone, you cannot come in. What we are doing together, and what we have been doing, is building up our church on a solid foundation. Our house is built on a rock, which is the rock of faith. And here, faith must be understood as a relationship and not as a set of beliefs. When I say faith, when Paul said faith, he didn't mean sign on the dotted line to a particular creed. They understood that word to be a relationship of trust with God in humble obedience to God, who will lead you to what is good. That's our faith. We prospered this past year. The annual report is going to be a good one this year. I'll save the details for my pastor's report at the annual meeting on the 31st of January. But we had all the signs of good, healthy, organic growth within a church, financially, in the building up of membership, in new ideas. A good, healthy church is one in which programs and ideas bubble up from within the congregation, and that has happened this year. What does it mean to prosper? When I say we prospered, we didn't grow as much as some churches in this town. We didn't build a new building, we didn't add, but we prospered. So this morning I wanted to speak briefly about a current that's going on in America and possibly is part of what God will lead the new church, the emerging church, to address. There is in America, in the church, the American business model translated and applied to the church. And I speak against it from the pulpit. And this is why. The American business model is based on market share, on size, as measures of success. It's based upon competition. And a cutthroat competition. A competition that seeks not just to be out to fair with a fair market share with others, but to outdo the others. Preferably to overwhelm them and get rid of them, to monopolize. So the American business model applied to churches means the bigger the building, the better. The more people that come in, the better. Never mind if they are growing spiritually. Never mind if they pray, only if they put the money in the plate and listen to the rock bands. I can say that because my son is in one of those churches. As I've often said from here, we have the same questions, but we don't have the same answers, he and I. There's a story that I remember reading about, and that had to do with, I think it had to do with the Peace Corps, but it was certainly one of those groups of well-meaning people from here who went to Asia to teach people to do things. One of the things they taught the young people to do is play soccer, which is a good game, not going to involve a lot of people. But here's what else they had to teach them. They had to teach them how to compete and win. See, the Asian people, if one team scored a goal, then they'd go out and play and let the other team score a goal too, so they could have the pleasure of also scoring a goal, and so they could all be, because they have a communal sense, so that they could all enjoy this together. But no, we had to teach them, oh no, one of you sides has to win. You can't just get out there and have fun together. Somebody's got to win. So I'm not sure we did a good thing. Our church is open-minded, open-handed. We seek to coexist. Coexist meaning with mutual regard for the humanness of others. When we say all are welcome here, we mean it. We're progressive. Progressive means to go for new and better. But better for us means more like the kingdom of heaven and not more like General Motors. We seek peace and justice, equality, with respect for the creation of God. Prosper for us must mean that the people are fed spiritually and are led in the way of true life. So we are fed and we are led to do good. Prosper should certainly include our church home. The building should be kept up and improved so that we can show our respect and we can do our work. Prosper will mean for us that anyone who comes in here should be able to feel the presence of the living God, should be able to feel a family of faith, should be able to feel valued for the image of God in them and regarded with respect. It should feel good. One of the ways we have prospered this year is the way I want to just switch gears now because it's important. Our main project this year. On Wednesday, the representative from the Wright and Phillips Company is going to come to the church and will give us the final write-off on our elevator, our lift. The lift is paid for. The construction work by the Randy Williams Company is paid for. The inspection of the state has been done. All that we need is the final paper from Wright and Phillips. Did you think we would do this? $40,000 project The last report on my desk is that we have raised $37,285 of the $40,000, and some of you have pledged enough so that if you meet those pledges, we will meet the $40,000 by the end of the year. We have prospered. Now, this is the important thing. Clarice and Bill, you must come to church next Sunday. And you people, everybody bring cameras. You are getting the first ride next Sunday from the, on the lift from this level down to the social hall, and the paparazzi will all be around taking pictures. In our community today, let's consecrate ourselves again as a congregation of people of God to a new year together, as a family of faith united in one hope, led by one God, each of us to be given grace for the building up of the body in love, to consecrate anew our church building and all that it means to us and to the community, to dedicate it again to new and good works, to be a place of safety and a source of joy, to be a house of God built on the rock of faith.